Welcome to the Wine Vault. On tonight's episode, Rob, Scott, and Becky all try a classic Californian Zinfandel from a classic legendary Californian producer as they drink Turley Wine Cellar's Uberuf Zinfandel from Paso Robles. So sit back, relax, and enjoy tonight's Wine Vault. Welcome, everybody, to the Wine Vault. It is I, Rob the Wine Guy, and tonight I am joined by Scott, the unlicensed taxi driver.
I did not witness Rob's demise. He is still alive temporarily. The Triple B is going to end his life through downstrikes because he deserves it.
Once again, folks, if you would like to be a co-host on the Wine Vault, just email winevault@outlook.com and I will price Scott for a pack of, you know, chiclets.
Yeah. That's the regular going rate.
Yeah.
Or tickets.
Nobody's
picking
you
up on that,
have
they?
Kick me out or Scott?
They can't kick you out. It's too expensive.
Regardless. Although there are.
I think he kind of likes you.
We do celebrate our 10-year anniversary next March, so we are on the countdown to 10 years.
Uh-oh.
Tick-tock. And that also, with
pitter-patter,
shut your fucking hole.
Do you mean pitter-patter like have another baby?
Of course that's what his asshole face meant.
Pitter-patter, let's get at her.
It's just like listen to someone fart over and over again. Just listen to you talk.
Actually, it's not what I meant, but there you go.
Anyway.
You took it that way.
Well, fuck you.
So what have you been thinking about?
I've been thinking about you getting hit by a freaking train.
Having a baby.
Anyway, Triple B is also on the show tonight.
Baby. I'm having your baby. What you see is what you want.
And we'll name the baby Scatina, like you suggested one time before.
I love that name.
Scatina.
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 Not scat.
This is like shit.
Scat's animal shit. Scatina.
Scatina.
It's not much better.
Yes.
Mom had a baby, a little baby girl. And we saw them today from a distance. It's like a, what?
From a distance.
4-day-old baby.
Henry's friend's mama had
but
a baby.
She asked Henry if he wanted a baby sister. And you know what he said?
I would love a baby sister.
He wishes he had two.
Ooh, son.
Anyway, folks, on tonight's show,
Henry's a smart child.
Mm-hmm. We've pulled
very intuitive.
A wine
he knows what his mother wants.
Mm-hmm. Out of Scott's basement.
Can you imagine five kids?
That's true. Now I also have this in my basement, or
what?
This wine.
I don't think wine. You have this year. I don't think
no,
you bought this year.
I have 15, 16, 17.
Yeah, you didn't buy this year.
Duplicates, but anyway.
That's a good move.
That's true. We have a Turley on the show tonight, but not just any Turley.
Not just any Turley.
Probably the most celebrated Turley in the last several vintages. It's really, in my opinion, and I'm sure Turley would disagree with me, but in my opinion, this is the Penta Ultimate Turley. Mm. I know Hayne Vineyards cost more, but this is probably the best, even though we've had this before and I did not say it was the best. I said it was the worst.
Well, what you said originally, what you laughed.
Too acidic.
We're going to go into wine in detail of what's happened, but we are drinking Uberuth.
Yes, the 2014 Turley Uberuth.
And we're probably a little early.
Possibly.
We're going to find out.
Now, Uberuth is Paso Robles.
Okay.
I'm on wine.com right now. Jeff is asking me if he can help me find a great wine. And I already did, Jeff. I have Uberuth Zinfandel.
Hey, Jeff, what are you drinking right now?
By the way.
Would you like some Turley Uberuth?
That would be so hilarious. No, Jeff, I already found a great wine. Yes. Say that back and see what
he says. I already closed it out. No, I already found one.
It's so annoying.
I already found one on Venice. currently unavailable. Folks, the wine.com price is $129.99 a bottle.
Whoa. How much did you all pay for it?
Not that. Under 50, right?
I think high 40s, maybe a little more.
48?
I think 50-something. I think it goes for 60 now.
Well, shipping
so
and everything.
High No, I'm just talking price.
No. It's high four. I think it's like $48.
I think this was still in the 40s when we bought this. Oh, that's right. You don't have any of the 14, do you?
And the 15 did just as well. And the 16. And the 17. And the 18. We don't have the 18 yet. But we'll buy that. But
it's coming around.
I've been buying it.
It's coming around the corner in 2 weeks.
Not because it's my
Turley's
favorite.
Turley's offering is it coming in 2 weeks.
Yes.
Turley's offering's in 2 weeks. Turley's offering's in 2 weeks. I wish I could buy everything.
You have no impulse control, as they could tell, because you sang way too many lines of that song. But this wine has never been stylistically my favorite. That being said, it's one of those things. I've said it many times. Just because something isn't necessarily your favorite stylistically doesn't mean it's not great or wonderful or amazing. It's not your thing. However, tonight I'm excited to drink this because this has had time in the bottle. Please don't sing that song.
I should say time in the bottle.
The first thing that I'd like to do.
He put a, what's that guy's name? Aaron Neville spin on it.
Yes. But he likes Aaron Neville. Okay. He's a big Aaron Neville. I threw Steve's hat at you. He's a big Aaron Neville fan. But.
I love New Orleans.
Jesus
Christ. I love New Orleans.
But. Uber Ruth historically comes from very acidic soils, and that comes through in the wine. And the wine itself is very acidic. And the last time we had it was at the Turley Wine Dinner. Last time I had it, and then it was side by side with Hain, but the Hain was the Petite Syrah, wasn't it? Which was not all that impressive. And I prefer the Dragon and the Rattlesnake over this. But
oh, to live on Howl Mountain.
This, though, is more unique, in my opinion, than those wines. The wines that are most distinctive in the Turley line, in my opinion, are Uber Ruth and what is it, Douchey? No, Douchey. Duarte. Duarte.
I was gonna but, say Cedarman's pretty.
You know, but Duarte is distinctive, but it's not my thing.
No, I didn't say it was great. I just said it was distinctive.
Well, but I think the Howl Mountain's extremely distinctive.
But all the Howl Mountains are distinctive of themselves. They're big, bold wines, but they don't have like a signature to them. Where Duarte tastes like rubber bands.
Easy.
Well, it does.
It's just not our style.
Well, it's not many. It's Contra Costa, isn't it?
Yes.
Contra Costa is weird. That's where
you're weird.
That's where the magnificent Klein Ancient Weizen comes from.
Ancient.
It's very ancient. But they can be weirdo, oddball stuff. But Uber Ruth is a little bit oddball because it comes from the mountainous areas of Paso Robles. And you know how I feel about Paso Robles. I fucking hate Paso Robles. But parts of Paso Robles are quite good.
How just do you not, feel about Paso Robles?
I know.
I wish you would tell us.
Yes.
I don't know either.
I hate it for Cabernet.
Could you enlighten us?
Yeah.
I don't think
I've never
care
heard
for
you
it.
Give an
but
opinion
so,
on
it. I don't like it. But the Zins are good from there. This is good. And Turley's Picenti, we've had that on a few occasions, is dynamite.
I would say that that's a distinctive Turley wine as well. I would say that as well. And not only in the Zin. I think all the Turley Petite Syrahs are distinctive.
I care
for them much more than you, and
well,
I've got
it's
more
not that they're not good.
Oh.
I mean, it's not that they're not good. They're good. It's just you have to really be into Petite Syrah, and I'm not as much as you are.
Well, but when you have their Petite Syrahs and just has a couple years on them, they become something different.
Well, Scott, you know what you don't have?
What don't I have?
You don't have Earthquake Petite Syrah in your cellar, and I do. So
good for you.
So fuck you,
yeah.
Buddy.
Yeah, that's better than Hain. That's better than Percenti.
It might be. I don't know.
Oh, it might be. Is that right?
I haven't broken the seal.
Yeah,
on those,
but
so.
A bit.
It's still a mystery.
But that's your explanation. That's a mystery.
No, it was like
you're a fucking mystery, dude. Yes.
Question about this Turley allocation coming up at the end of the month.
We don't know what it is, but we do know
what
it is.
See.
They changed some things around, right? They reordered
yeah.
some stuff.
Yeah.
That's what I was thinking.
Yeah, I don't know what it will be.
It's going to be the white coat. It's going to be...
Is this the juvie offering?
Yes.
Okay.
Or...
No. I don't know. No, the juvie was the last offering. Spring. This is going to be Old Vine. Okay. Right? Is that right?
I don't know.
Here, my other question
We're
about
so ADHD.
Is,
I don't know. I'm just going to buy it all.
Yes, I know you are.
No, I am ADHD.
So, my other question about this offering... Yes. Is what we've seen from some of our other favorite wineries is where their tasting rooms haven't been open because of COVID, where
they
haven't
closed
had
down
as,
again,
and where they haven't had as many visitors. We've seen a lot more offerings available to the public.
For sure.
Are you all expecting that with Turley?
Well, they've been doing some really nice treats. They've been doing it. They've been
throwing
some different packaging together on offerings and predictions of some different things that are going to come up. Yes, 100%. I think you're going to see more offerings from folks, but you know,
no money
we love Turley. We talk about it all the time. Get on the mailing list.
Absolutely, folks. So we're going to take a break.
Get on the fucking mailing list. So it's the only way you can get it direct. It's the only way you can get the prices we get. Rob said $129 we paid in the 50s. Just get on the mailing list. Just do it. God damn it, just do it.
He hasn't drank this yet, but nevertheless, we will, after 35 minutes of the first segment, here on the Wine Vault.
Unlicensed taxi driver here. When I'm out on the road, mayhem is everywhere. Mayhem doesn't care, but your local Allstate insurance agent, Craig Walters, does care. Are you in good hands? Are you in the good hands of Craig Walters Insurance Agency?
And if you're not, folks, please give Craig a call. His number is 740-862-4585. You can also meet him at his office at 107 North Main Street, Baltimore, Ohio. For auto, home, or life, give Craig a call. And we're back, folks. So, the 2014 Turley Uberuth from Paso Robles.
You made a different choice on the glassware.
I did, folks.
I was going to ask about that, too.
Normally, you do Zin glasses, but I did New World Syrah glasses. There was a big reason for that. The Zin glasses, I think, work fine for your standard fare. However, for something as big and as aromatic as this...
Big some bitch.
I think it needs more space to really breathe. I do. Mm. I think that we just got the new... Riedel Extreme Zin glasses. If I had four of those, which I think I might buy more of those because I like those, we might have done it in those. But I like the Riedel Extreme glass because it has a little bit more panache to it, a little more extreme to it. So I did the Syrah glasses,
and I think it has a different taper to it about it.
It's a little more extreme in the taper, but. A little bit taller stem. Just give it a little bit more room to breathe on this wine. And I think sometimes Zinfandels, we constrain them a little bit. We say, well, Zinfandels are this. This is not. Say for instance, say you're not into Turley. Say you drink Martinelli. Martinelli needs room to breathe. Robert Bailey needs room to breathe. Carlisle, any of those. Hartford. These wines, Bedrock, these big, massive Zins.
I think those...
Whether it be from Napa or Paso or from Russian River, these big, huge, this is 16.1% alcohol. These massive things, they need space to breathe.
Say that number again for Steve.
16.1, Steve. So these things need that space, that room to just kind of get out there and stretch their legs. And standard Zin glasses... Riedel, I don't think that does that.
Well, I also think that this, we know going in, this has a different level of acidity from
yes.
other Zins.
Yes.
And I think that fits the
Petite
Syrah glass.
I just think it's
glass.
Interesting that Rob knows more than Riedel. Interesting.
That's what I'm
it
saying.
It is interesting.
But anyway, folks, in the glass, this is dark. Yeah. Oh, and it has two reviews, and I should tell you that. They're the same review.
Oh.
Same score. This wine, first of all, and we'll start off with Robert Parker.
Oh, I thought you meant like wine.com reviews.
Robert Parker gave us wine 95 of his points. And Robert wrote, from one of the more famous Turley vineyards, planted in 1885, by the way, the 14 Uberuth comes from a site just down the street from James Barry Vineyards of Justin Smith and his beloved Saxham Winery. They make great Syrah, by the way. It tips the scales at a whopping 16.1% alcohol.
Oh.
It's another killer Zin with terrific minerality. There you go, Scott. Focus and precision, but with thick, rich blueberry and black raspberry flavors, a full-bodied mouthfeel, and stunningly long finish. This is a profound example of Zinfandel at its best, and another compelling reason why Larry Turley and his staff have, for more than two decades, made some of the most prestigious Zinfandels in California. Wine Spectator, then. This was the number 16 wine of the year in 2017, the top 100.
Right on. I don't think we knew that.
I knew that. And it gave,
you did not.
And they provided it 95 of their points. And they wrote, an impressive combo of refinement and torque. This features ripe, rich fruit backed by great minerality and structure with notes of raspberry and blackberry plus licorice, sage, and pepper.
Profiles we love.
And one thing that they noted is the high pH of the soil makes for a very high acid wine, elevating the ripe fruit flavors from this historic certified organic vineyard.
I was a little disappointed that Parker Review didn't include anything about the acidity because, so folks, when I was exposed to Turley was on an infamous night where we did a tasting at a nice French restaurant where they were doing a Turley tasting.
Yes.
And that night, this was kind of the star of the show. And we had...
It was the most memorable wine of the
show. Six glasses poured for the same time.
Like yeah.
And some of the healthy pours.
And they were like the Dragon Vineyard, which is very expensive. The Rattlesnake, which is very expensive. Pacenti, Old Vines, Juvenile.
What was the Petit Syrah we had? Hain Petit Syrah. But Rob originally, you know, the rep that was describing the wines talked about the acidity of this and said that this was a cellar selection, that it could go 10 years. And Rob was kind of mocking her.
It was a man.
It was a woman.
It was a man, Scott.
It was a woman. The sales rep was a woman.
You dumbass. It was a man. No. He sat right next to me. He was a dude. A man. Two people are telling you it's a man. Shut up.
No, the sales rep who brought the wine was a woman.
It was a man, Scott.
Oh, my Lord.
You are so... You always are wrong about everything.
The refectory guy was a guy.
No, the wine rep was a man. There's no women there.
Oh, my Lord.
It was definitely a dude.
It was a dude. I sat next to him. Mm-hmm. He wasn't the sommelier from the refectory. It was the sales rep sat right next to me. There were no women presenting anything in that room that night.
Oh, my Lord.
Oh, my Lord, what?
Anyway.
Maybe you have a brain aneurysm is your problem. Christ. Or you have a bullet hole in your head.
Hey.
God. Easy.
I sat next to the guy. Anyway, I felt the wine was... It was...
You didn't sit next to the guy. You sat next to the weird guy that lives in his parents' basement.
The sales rep sat between us and him. He sat at the head of the table. And then Deb sat next to someone who kept taking fucking pictures.
Oh, yeah, she did.
Yes, a lot of people were on that table. We had a freak table.
Oh, then my again, Lord.
It wasn't like there was like a normal table. Anyway, I was taken aback by the acidity of this wine. I had never experienced a Zinfandel with this much acidity. It didn't even taste almost that much of a Zinfandel. It was so odd. But I think that's because it was in its infancy stage. It really was, you know? So it's going to be interesting to see it now, several years later, stored in mediocre quality in Scott's basement.
No, not bad quality.
I knew. I was wondering.
Mediocre.
Not bad.
To see how it evolved.
It'll be better.
Yeah. See if this wine is now the 95 that both Parker and the enthusiast say it is. So hopefully it is because I have the 15, the 16, and 17.
Yeah, we're buying it every year now, folks.
Yeah, we have been.
You buying two bottles every year?
I don't know. I
think
bought,
that's the way to do it.
I do have a couple bottles of one or two years. I don't know if I've done that every year.
I think it's the way to do it, folks.
Yeah.
If you know you've got a special bottle, why just buy one? Buy two.
Well, on the nose, folks.
And why not just buy three?
Yes.
Why not just buy every one you get in the allocation? You crazy fool!
Massive raspberry jam. Also, minerality is just streaking through there. Massive raspberry jam.
Yeah.
There's savory fruit in the background.
Well, yeah. There's a little...
Cassis, blackcurrant.
Yeah. What else did you say, Rob?
It's minerality. But it's
did
just...
Did you say any herbs?
Yeah. You have to talk about the herb.
I didn't say in one specific.
You didn't
I said minerality,
herbs,
yeah.
But there's herbaceousness.
Yeah.
I think one of the reviewers said sage.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, absolutely. I agree with that.
Yeah.
Oregano.
It's kind of amazing to get that much off of a nose. And often when we get a lot off a nose, there is no flavor. But knowing that most likely when we drink this, it's going to match the nose.
This should
kind of exciting.
This should be good old-fashioned rattlesnake venom is what this should be. That's what I'm expecting.
16.1.
Also, a little bit of a chocolate nose, too. Mm. A little bit of chocolate.
Yeah, and I think that goes along with the cassis. And,
yeah, absolutely.
A little, almost cayenne. There's a little more than black pepper, a little spicy pepper there. It's way in the background. It's with that herbaceousness.
Black pepper in a zen is... Chef's kiss for
on the no shit, right? I mean, seriously, it's like old school. This is why we drink wine. Mm-hmm. This bottle here, it probably is early, but you know we're in the middle of COVID. There's bullshit going on. I'm like, I texted the Derns. I'm like, how about
I was gonna
a Turley?
What made you?
Because we can.
You just felt it.
Because we can. Shit's going on. In the world, in our lives, let's drink some Turley tonight. Yep.
Well, I just drank it. I'm drunk. Okay, first of all, I don't think Becky's gonna like this, but go ahead, taste it.
Well, if I don't like it, I'll give you mine and I'll go upstairs and go to bed.
No,
not acceptable. Oh my God, why wouldn't she like this? It's fucking huge.
Oh, because of the oaking?
No, it's port like, but. This thing is about the most complex Zinfandel that has ever come down the block that I have had. And I've had some great Zinfandels, but this thing is so beyond all of those things. I'm talking right now, and it's been a while since I drank it. The finish is still ongoing. And, see, you have the front palate is loaded with gobs of ripe sweet fruit, not residual sugar sweet, but powerful sweet fruit. Oak kicks in the mid palate, but then, and the finish is still, by the way, ongoing.
God damn it, that's a long finish.
You have cayenne and all the tons of sage and whatnot that and, linger through the finish.
And the acidity is still expressing itself in the finish.
Yeah.
The acidity of this wine is still expressing itself.
Still,
this sucker has some time.
Still the elements of cayenne and the acidity are still going on. I can still experience it, taste it. This is, what, 45 seconds, 50 seconds since I drank it?
One
maybe
of the
a minute?
Most noticeable things to me about, most noticeable and notable things about the finish.
Yeah.
Is that the oak is not the finish.
No.
And normally it is.
That's
normally,
unusual structure.
Yeah, that's what I mean.
Yeah.
That it's, you taste the oaking and then you get so many other things afterwards, which is a delight. It really is.
I don't think the oak.
It's a bit of an oddball in that way, in that the oak kind of is almost at the mid palate. I really think it's starting the finish. I really think it's starting the finish, so it's really in the finish, but then it's just overwhelmed by all these other things. Mm-hmm. It's so...
And when do you ever have oaking that is overwhelmed by the wine?
Something that's what I was going to say. The fruit overwhelms everything. It's a tidal wave of fruit, and nothing could hold up to that.
How many different fruit things do you think you can pick out of this?
So...
The whole...
What's not there? Prune.
Oh,
I was going to say prune. It reminds me...
Cherry,
exactly. I thought you were going to tell me I was crazy for saying cherry.
No.
That's fucking cherry,
it's,
dude.
It's
and
cherry.
It's not Bing cherry. It's not a sweet cherry. It's just fucking cherry.
Just cherry.
It's not cherry cola, but it's the cherry and cherry cola. It's just standard cherry.
And this is the thing, folks. It isn't a muddled fruit. It goes from prune and then shifts into another fruit. It bends itself. So you're like, There's a prune. There is cherry. There is
berry. It's got a subtle berry background throughout the whole thing.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah.
What would you say frames this? Can you say
it frames there is it doesn't, something doesn't, frames it doesn't itself. Have that.
It doesn't have that.
It doesn't need that. This
well,
wine,
it's got too many things to say one thing frames it.
This is one of those wines that is, it's like, it's like the Petrus of Zinfandels. That's what it is. It's a wine that's it's beyond the scope.
Dare I say that's the title of this episode?
No, well, it's beyond the scope of normal consumption. You don't drink things that you buy normally that are like this wine. And quite frankly, it's not all things that necessarily excite me. However, it's all genius.
Holy shit.
And exquisite. And you have to recognize that. It's not one, you know, if someone said, what's going to draw you back for another sip more? This or Cederman? Cederman. However, Cederman ain't this.
Cederman's not this.
Because this is beyond all of that. This is just another plane.
I'll be honest.
This is like a Domaine du Pagau level wine that
this
you're drinking.
This is a wine that I'm glad that it's three of us. And it's not just two of us.
Yeah.
This is one. What is to be shared, and not only that, but this motherfucker's so big, you don't need half a bottle.
No.
You couldn't.
But we always say, how does a wine go to that next level? Here you go. I mean, there's an example, because you transcend that. You're so big. You're just like, and I wouldn't even call it a kaleidoscope, because kaleidoscope is dainty and light, and it's like,
this is a
velvet sledgehammer punch that then breaks off into this beautiful fireworks that just tinkle down.
And the finish, the way you describe that the finish just tinkles down.
Yes.
It just hangs on.
If someone gave me this, I'm going to taste it again, because I'm going to try to say whether or not I would say that this is a Zinfandel if I drank it.
I was just thinking that.
Blind.
I don't think I would. I was just going to say that.
Then I'm going to try to say what I would mistakenly suggest it was. I don't know though.
I know what I would say. Because that's exactly where my mind was at. I know that I would say a Cabernet, or perhaps my other thought was a Petite Sirah, because I don't know what else I could imagine being this big.
It's so huge. But you know,
I don't know what I would say.
Probably Petite Sirah, but it probably has Petite Sirah in it, so that would make sense.
It's black.
It is.
We're not talking about the minerality in this. It is...
Well,
pencil lead.
Yeah.
You know what? Also, I just got a whiff of at the finish.
Petite Sirah.
Barnyard.
A whiff of like the aroma or the
flavor. Yeah.
So you think you would say, if you were just guessing, if we were doing a blind taste testing, you would say Petite Sirah?
Probably.
What would you say?
Or, you know, there's a lot of Amador here, though. You know that style is in.
Well, the port like.
But if you know. If you know it's Zinfandel, that's where you're going to lean towards that more port-like Amador style.
Okay, you might, you know what? You might on certain days say an Amador Zin, but you're not going to pick Paso. But Amadors are like that because they are just, they're alcohol bombs.
But I don't.
This is an alcohol bomb as well.
Care whether we could pick out that it's Paso. This is transcendent.
But
and transcendent wines, okay, yes. If you're drinking a Chateau Neuf de Pop, that's a transcendent wine. You know it's a Chateau Neuf de Pop. This is transcendent in a different way.
Yes.
In that there's 25 things going on in this glass of wine. There's nothing typical about this wine.
No.
It's, first of all, it's 16.1.
Yes.
It's a high acidic or relatively high acidic Zinfandel.
Yes.
It's Paso.
Extremely old vines.
In and of itself is unique. It's mountainous Paso. In and of itself unique. extremely old vines, more than 100 years old.
If you go on to Turley's website, they actually have a picture of the vineyard. They always show pictures of the vineyards of their different wines. So the picture of the vineyard, it's like the vineyard is on top of the peak. It like it's drapes over
it's
the hill.
Unbelievable.
Yeah. So we don't love Paso.
Well, as a general rule, no, we don't.
So how does Turley get this out of Paso?
Well, again, they're got top of that fucking mountain.
They've got the best sites. Pacenti, this. And they've already, the good sites in Paso are taken.
Isn't it like shocking, though, to think about other wine that we've drank from Paso that tastes like cabbage?
Yes.
But this is the thing. Paso has different... Paso has different hats. So the flatter areas of Paso where J. Lore gets it is shit.
I mean, you drink something from Paso, it tastes like wilted cabbage.
Can. Just
and
unpleasant.
And then you have this, and it's like, it's just so shocking that they could be from the same place.
Well, realistically, they aren't.
No, they're not.
Realistically, they're not.
Just geographically, but not
Paso,
terroir.
But it's, you know, this is mountainous.
Yeah.
And then you've got other areas.
The dirt worshippers down
there. Here's, so.
That's bad.
It just is, it is mind-blowing. I understand elevation, but it just is shocking. That
and I hope people.
And soil and
really
climate.
Appreciate
and
this. And I hope Turley listens to us. One of the things that I just fucking love
well,
about
they
this
do.
Group,
we got that email, Scott. Remember that?
Yeah, I do. You know. Turley in the glass, in my mouth, the taste is what I fell in love with. But then the more I find out about how they deal with things, this is a group that specializes in taking vineyards and recovering them.
Mm-hmm. Yes, they do.
And bringing them back to life. Mm-hmm. And the world needs more of that.
Yeah.
Not just in wine, folks. Mm-hmm. We need to reclaim our world. And Turley's doing that with grapes, vine by vine by vine. Mm-hmm. They've got such a wide range of products. Not everything is going to fit your thing. You know, we talked about Dwarf Taylor. It's not my thing anymore. It's not. But what I love is some of their other stuff, like that Cinsault that's been offered.
I'm not a big fan of that.
I loved it.
Well, you like rosé.
I loved it. It was just a good, crisp, nice wine.
Yeah.
That they brought back from the dead.
You know what I'll say?
They brought back from the dead.
You
it's Cinsault, son.
You know,
who else drinks Cinsault?
You. You know, the Duarte. Now, you mentioned that. Interestingly enough, we were at, I was at Spaggio's wine bar.
Okay.
With Matt, my buddies Matt and Adam. And it was for our birthdays, whatever. And it was a couple years ago, maybe. And we ordered a bottle of Duarte. They never had it. They didn't know anything about Turley. And Matt, who doesn't even drink wine, lost his ever-loving shit.
It. And it's not
like,
even our favorite thing.
And he goes, I don't drink wine. He goes, what is this? How do I get it? He goes, this is, he goes, I've never really liked the wine that my wife buys. I've tried it, and I don't like it.
Can't understand
why. This is fantastic. Yeah. You know, and Adam, he does drink wine some, but he drinks a lot of bourbon. But he's like, yeah, it's nice. Yeah. But, you know. And Duarte, though, it has an odd finish. It's very typical of Contra Costa, but I would drink that over a lot of things out there.
For sure.
Anything by Robert Bolly. Mr.
So,
I use oak like it's fucking...
Speaking of bourbon.
Yes.
The oaking on this reminds me of... It is not a bourbon barrel wine. I don't
that.
I know what you mean.
But don't you... The char? Is it the char?
No, it's the overall...
There's a little smoke there.
There's a little
bourbon-like smoke
it's
there.
It's the over-the-topness, but it never loses itself.
It's right before the finish.
Well, you think the wine's out of control.
Yeah.
When you taste it up front, that fruit just blows the top off the damn thing. You're like, oh my God, where's this going? But it seems to know what it's doing. And then it just rolls into the beauty. It's not subtle. It's not a subtle wine.
There's nothing subtle about this. This has so much fruit in it.
But Zinfandel's not supposed to be.
It really isn't supposed to be.
Not supposed to be subtle?
Not really. Is that what you mean? Yeah.
Well, but it's not supposed to be this fruity either. It can be, but this fruit is so fruity in so many different ways. Cherry, prune, the berry.
Yeah.
It's almost you could pass it as its residual sugar. But it's not. It's just sweet. Well, fruit.
That's the port like. Well, you said Amador. Yeah.
Yes, that's the port like characteristic of it. And that's that's why Rob said, Becky's not gonna like this. He was mansplaining it to you.
No, I just said I don't think you will.
He was telling me how to think.
No.
He was.
Just know your mind.
I like this wine.
I'm glad.
It's have we ever on the show had a wine that has more going on than this?
Yes.
What?
Well.
What?
Clarendon Hills.
No.
Yes.
No.
And
I would argue that Clarendon Hills did not have as much going on. It just was better.
Domaine du Pigalle.
I don't think it had more going on.
God, it did.
I don't think it had
but
more. I'm having a hard time because I've never had those wines.
No, you haven't. But those are wines with ultra high scores. This is a very good wine.
When I'm looking up, it's going to be an ultra high score. In 2017, when I had Numanthia, let me try to remember a wine I had 3 years ago.
Yeah, oh, well, but that's when we had Clarendon Hills. What was it? 18.
I wouldn't know.
Yeah, that we were pretty drunk that night, Scott.
No, we were wasted.
Yeah, I know. We were.
But that wine particularly, we decanted it for a while, tried it.
Skunky.
And then we came back to it. It was it had changed gears. It was spectacular.
It was amazing. But Domaine du Pigalle is the best wine we've had on the show.
But I'm not sure it had as many things going on as this did.
It's got its Chateauneuf. It did. It was a 99 Chateauneuf.
It's fucking bad.
They got a 97 point. I gave it 97 or 98 points.
Yeah, I wouldn't know.
I know. But that's fine, though. This wine, though, has that. It's in the conversation of those kind of wines.
I'm not saying it's as good as the Domaine Pigalle.
No, I know.
But the number of things it has going on.
No, but Scott, but it's still, it's in that conversation of that type of wine. It's elite. It's special. It's collectible. It's what those things are that you say, well, what is a 91 or above? Okay, well this is a 91. But, what I'm saying? It's a 90. But, the 90 is a great wine that is solid. We like to drink it. We buy more of it.
If
after that, 91 is the same. It's just maybe a little bit better. 92, now you're talking about something that's fucking great. 93, really great. 94, really, really great. 95, well, there's now James Suckling or Decanter or something like they're all busy with themselves, but still, they give it a 97, and we do have a Decanter 97 coming up on the show soon. Very exciting. $13.99, go figure. Their 97 doesn't mean as much. But
no.
You're talking about something that is exquisite and just blows your mind and you just can't handle yourself and you just want
to
scream and run.
How much more time do you think this wine has? This particular vintage?
5 to 7 years.
Yeah. Yeah. I think this is young. I think this is early. I've got another bottle of this.
Good.
I'm glad.
Yep.
We tried this tonight.
No, yeah. It gives you a good baseline. You know that you're not going to touch that until the late maybe 2028, 2030. I'd say that's fine.
That's late. 2030. I don't know that I can go that long.
I mean, your basement's a little warm, but still.
Oh, Jesus.
So I was looking at other reviews of this vintage. Something that came up was the 2010 review from Wine Enthusiast.
2010.
But I want to read it because it is so opposite of what this wine has become. Let's for a moment believe that Wine Enthusiast is giving an accurate review.
So I'm supposed to suspend disbelief.
Yes, suspend reality.
Okay.
Ready? Touches of unripe vegetal aromas and flavors compromise this wine, despite some jammy blackberry and cherry flavors. Because of its thinness.
Can I do the key and peel? You remember when he did the Obama thing where he had the freaking interpreter for him?
Oh, yeah.
Turley didn't buy any goddamn advertising that year.
Because of its thinness.
Fuck
its
buys.
High alcohol content makes it feel hot.
Did I mention Turley didn't buy any advertising in the magazine that year?
Guess what they gave it. An 84.
Turley didn't buy any advertising in the magazine that year.
That's 1 point lower than Dornfelner and Predator.
But it's also it's.
And folks.
Years early.
Folks, that's a lower score than they gave OZV. OZV. So if you ever want to know why we say the Wine Enthusiast is bullshit.
Enthusiast.
And we should, just like they did in Germany, pile it up in mounds and burn it. That's why.
What the fuck did you just say? Pile up
books
and burn it? What the fuck are you talking about?
The Enthusiast. Like the Nazis burned books. They weren't burning the Enthusiast.
Thank God that's what you're
but
talking about.
If
books.
They had,
I thought that's what he was talking about.
I hope that is what he was talking about.
Ooh.
Yes, powdered it up in mounds and burned it.
Yeah.
That was not good.
Folks, I definitely meant books. But had I actually had that bad mind like Scott does, I never would have made that joke to begin with. So, folks, we're going to take a break here. And then we'll be right back on the Wine Vault. Hey everybody, it's Rob the Wine Guy. Do you love the Wine Vault? Do you want the world to know about the Wine Vault? Well, do you know the best way to do that? By giving us a review wherever you get your podcasts. Whether that be on iTunes or Stitcher or TuneIn or Spreaker or Podbean or some other app I've never heard of but probably gave your phone a virus when you downloaded it. So take that time. Give us that review. Give us your thoughts and feedback. That way, everyone will know to listen to, enjoy, and join us on the Wine Vault. And we'll be right back. And we're back, folks. Scott has been offensive off air, which is no different than on air. So on the potpourri tonight, we are going to discuss what we think is the most objectionable thing.
Objectionables?
Yes. In the wine industry today. What?
Top yourself off.
Oh, no, thank you. No, I won't drink it.
Here, give it to me, Scott. I will drink it because I am a lush.
The most objectionable thing in the wine
industry. Leave a taste for me.
That'll take you 20 minutes to drink that much.
The most objectionable
thing. That's
easy. Thing. The Snoop Dogg Cali Red Blend.
No,
it's
I don't
the
mean
most
a
objectionable thing.
Well, you could be.
I think
there's several objectionable things for me. Until its use is identified and mandatory labeled, Purple Death.
Well, that's kind of what I've said.
Wine concentrate. For me, is the most objectionable thing in the wine industry in the United States.
What?
That it is offensive. It needs to be labeled when you use it. It needs to be put on the product. I have used Purple Death. And it doesn't need to be labeled as some nice thing as, we've used sulfite-free wine concentrate. No, it's fucking Purple Death.
Well, what I would say
put it
is,
on your product.
More importantly,
bitches.
Scott, that's normally an element
bastards,
of
bastards. Motherfuckers. No, put on Purple Death.
Scott, serious wines as to joke wines. But let me finish. You like to talk over people.
I'm sorry.
Serious wines. Wines that are traditional, that taste like the varietal. Then wines that aren't serious. Wines that are oaked out the ass with charred American oak and have residual sugar that aren't typical of the varietal. You have to say, similar to what the Italians or the French would do, you have to pass the standards board. Yep. I think that California needs to do that. I think there needs to be standards.
It's not going
to
happen, man.
But they
not
have
just
to.
California. I think the U.S. needs
it's,
to.
Yeah. It's not going
to
happen.
They have to.
It's not going
to
happen.
Because they're losing their artistic quality. Scott, listen.
I hear what you're saying.
You can't have Ferrari Corona Merlot have the same thing on its label that Calibrate Merlot has.
I fucking agree.
You can't have those two wines both say they're the same thing because they're not. Calibrate is some bum's ball sweat. That's what it is. Sweetened ball sweat. Where it's not about, but it's also not about this wine, you know, this is lean and weedy. That's not what I'm talking about. It's similar to what Scott said. Purple Death, manipulation, oak chips. For some reason, you throw a bag of fucking sugar in the fucking wine. That kind of stuff is what we're talking about. A stylized wine as opposed to something that tastes like it's supposed to taste like.
But I just think if you really expect the United States to implement European-style standards for winemaking, we're in a fucking middle of a pandemic. So. Look at how we've handled this. We can't even agree on everybody's going to put a face covering on. And you want winemaking to agree on standards for what's typical of the region?
These are different things. First of all, you don't need government regulation. You could, similar to they have like the Meritage Association, you could have wineries grouped together to then issue a certification within their group.
Make an NCAA group. Of winemakers.
Oh my God, the NCAA. That's the most corrupt organization in the goddamn country.
You could do the Napa Coalition, for instance. And all those wineries, they have a certain approval, seal of approval. Yep. And they have done it. You could do AVA by AVA. They have an AVA board that reviews each wine to say you get the certification. If you don't pass their muster, you don't. So you don't need a federal law that says that.
Okay.
You could have California in and of itself do that.
You know who's going to control it? Constellation.
I don't know. There's money there. But Scott, often, though, Constellation Treasury, they're pulling from wines from outside the United States to do that. So they're pulling in 19 crimes. 19 crimes, they wouldn't even submit that.
Okay.
So you don't have to worry about Treasury doing that.
I hear what you're saying. In an ideal world, if we could change one thing, and I agree with this, we would implement European-like, Italian, French, and Spanish, IDG, ODG, typical...
DOCG.
Yeah. DOCG, typical of the region classifications for wines.
We would, at least some sort of review...
Standards.
Where they say, hey, we, as a collective, we say this wine is one of us.
Yep.
You know, the Napa Collective, the Sonoma Collective.
And it's fine. Like, your Barefoots and stuff wouldn't be even be submitted.
Wouldn't be
in
it. No, they wouldn't
be
submitted to it.
They would just be another.
They wouldn't even give a fuck.
And you wouldn't submit your California level.
And that's a good point, Becky. Yeah. They wouldn't even care.
Yeah, your California levels wouldn't care because they're not trying to certify there as AVA specific. Yeah.
But I still say, for me... And I agree. I think that would be a brilliant thing. I don't think it's ever going to happen.
Well, that's not what we're talking about. We're talking about what the problems are. The problems are labeling. They present something as something that it's not. They present, you know, one thing. Do you think Ménage à Trois and that stuff's ever going to do that? No.
If we make them, you
could separate them off. You know, Ménage à Trois Cabernet is not Cabernet. It's not.
It's fucking wine concentrate.
You know, Iron Horse is not that. You know those wines are
not.
What? If you have to say on the label, we're estate grown, and that means something. Or, our wines are sourced. You actually have to denote that on the label. So someone can make a determination by that if you had any kind of background in it. You could say, they source all their stuff, and they don't have any kind of certification. Maybe this is bullshit.
Mm-hmm. It is bullshit.
But there's no... What
makes us free
Maomi
limits us
Scott, how do
so
you,
much.
Just to let people know, how do you know when a wine is bullshit? What are some clues? look at the label. Say they don't say where they're from. Say they're just from Cali. Normally that means it's bottom rung stuff. It's Central Coast. It's right.
Non-vintage.
If it was, well, yes. But if it was Napa. I
was driving down the west side of Columbus, and you know what was on a billboard? Stella Rosa.
Yes. If a wine is multiple percentages from certain places, and they also have Monterey on there, that's typically a bad sign. Like Franciscan. They used to have, their base Cabernet used to be Napa. Then they said, fuck that. And then they said it was Napa and Monterey. Now they've said, fuck that. Now it's just California.
If you're buying a wine and it's a California label and the county specific designation is from somewhere in Ohio, it's probably not very good.
That's true too. But if they don't even say to you, hey, this has 35% Sonoma or 15% Napa, they just say, fuck that. And it says California. It says nothing.
Your producers in the United States that designate where their shit's from, it's more proper wine.
Well, our experience, though, on the California appellations, there actually isn't consistency from year to year.
No shit.
It might taste like wine 1 year. And then the next year, it tastes like Campbell's noodle soup. Yeah, you're like, well, how'd that happen? But it's random, partly because I think they just say, fuck it, throw it in the bin every year. You know, back in the day, Blackstone used to be legit. Now it's not legit. You know, Fetzer never was legit. Scott likes it. I mean, there's
okay.
There, Parducci used to be legit. There used to be, although Parducci now is making some good Petit Sirah and Pinot. There used to be a lot of legit wineries now that aren't. Turning Leaf used to be a major player. What is Turning Leaf anymore? There's
$4.99, $5.99.
Yeah, there used to be one called Meridian. I don't think that was Southern California.
Well,
too.
So I think we're of a couple opinions here.
Do you have an opinion?
Go to
European type. I haven't been able to say.
Go to European designations, and my thing is, I say what the winemaking in the United States needs. Is if you're going to use Purple Death, it needs to be mandated from the FDA that you label, I have included Purple Death in this wine product.
Okay. Now, Scott, you can't talk because Becky has an opinion. Go ahead.
Well, I want to hear Becky's opinion.
Be quiet.
I wanted us to move on to another topic.
Shut up.
No. Go ahead.
Mine is that I think that rosé is an abomination.
Oh! Boo.
And boo. You told Scott he wasn't allowed to talk.
Preach.
But he can't, though. He can't tell me that because I got opinion.
I just can't stand it. It's not. It's the white Zin of 2020.
It makes you look like a pansy. Oh, I turned your mic off, didn't I? Oh, look at that.
And I just can't.
It is white Zin.
I just can't do it.
Well, we're going to do an episode where only Becky and I drink a rosé because Rob won't drink it.
It actually turns my stomach.
This won't. It's freaking fantastic.
No one can hear you, Scott. Your mic is turned off.
Yes, you can. I can yell.
Mm-hmm. Bo's head is like this. Back and forth, back and forth, back and forth.
That's right. The power of being in charge.
He did move away from me to you, though.
That's because I've been feeding him cheese. No, rosé time and place. It's all right. You know, whatever. If you don't like it, you don't like it. If you drink it, drink it. I mean,
the three things I wrote down.
We should taste it different.
Were rosé.
Yes.
Snoop wine.
Yes.
And oaked Sauvignon Blanc.
Oh, well, that's
boo! Yeah.
Boo!
See, the thing about rosé, you know, first of all, Scott, you're full of shit because you don't like Brut rosés.
I've never had a Brut rosé that I'm aware of.
You have had them, and you say, I don't like Brut rosés, but you drink rosé. Brut rosés are lovely. But
well, then bring one on the show. Let's have one.
I've done that before.
I'll drink it.
And you acted like a damn sissy. I didn't like it.
Maybe I didn't like it. Maybe I didn't like it.
Because you're a douche.
What episode was that? What was the product?
It was a long time ago. Steve was on.
Oh,
we're talking about a long time ago. You know that guy, Steve? He's like this tall.
Short.
He's a wee.
He's really short.
Isn't he getting surgery this week?
I know.
Breast implants? Is that what it is?
No, he's having.
Oh, gender reassignment surgery.
No, he had that already.
Okay.
No, he's having his back fixed.
Oh, okay.
Fusion.
I don't know what you mean.
Not the he's Ford car.
Really?
No. You're up the same day. So he's having, so folks, our buddy Steve.
Yeah, it's a little.
Love you, buddy. He might be a bit of a hot.
Love's bit. A strong word.
He might have been a hot bit of. What? You slept with him multiple times in different circumstances, Scott. Including on his wedding night.
Scott, you understand. First of all, it's the rite of prima nocta. But still.
The what? Excuse me? Wait, what?
There's difference between love and lust. So just move on.
The rite of prima hoopa?
Prima nocta. Yes.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
Yes. I'm glad you got done speaking. So, folks.
Do a little dance. Make a little love.
We're going to take a break.
Get down tonight.
And when we come back, we're going to provide a numerical score to the Uber Ruth.
Make a little love.
Here on the Wine
Bar. Do a little dance.
And we're back, folks. So now we are going to review the 2014 Turley Uberuth Zinfandel from Paso Robles in California.
I'm just going to take it away from all of us. This is a wine that is at a level that is going to be, I don't want to say difficult for us to score. We just don't have a lot of experience evaluating a wine of this quality.
Yes, Scott does not have a lot of experience evaluating a wine of this quality. That's correct. So we're going to start off with a triple B so she can give him some guideposts on how to review a wine of this quality. Dumbass.
Whatever, dude.
Jesus Christ.
I've done it a couple times.
So
twice.
We talked about this briefly at the beginning. But when we talk about the oak in the mid palate and then the rest of the finish is not oaking, but it's the herbs and it's everything else in the wine. That is the part to me that is difficult to score because it's so unusual.
And I encourage you to take that as a positive.
Oh yeah. I'm not making a negative. It's just as different.
It's so different.
It's really, yeah. So the fruit, it's jammy in the best possible way at the beginning. I mean, that is a compliment. We've had jammy as a negative. And then the oaking in the middle. And then the finish with the herbs. Did you all get peppery?
I love how you just leaned into the mic right there. Yes, there's some pepperiness to it.
I don't know. We talked about I didn't write down peppery.
Black pepper. Oh. It's
more cayenne.
All over the board on the pepper. There's a couple different places that there's a peppery presence.
I can feel it on my
mid palate and the finish. It's freaking fantastic.
And then you add in the Turley mouthfeel as like the elevated mouthfeel.
We haven't even talked about that yet.
It just is so outstanding. A couple of times on the show we've talked about, Rob and I have talked about, sometimes it feels like we've kind of done California's ends, like you know what I mean.
Not this one.
We've drank what there is to drink, but then this one just—you wrote down your score and covered it with a cup. You're so stupid.
He's very stupid.
But anyway, so this
stupid
is
man.
What did the wine enthusiast give it? An 84.
Well, that was what 2010,
yeah. And they're stupid. Yeah. Go ahead.
Well, Turley didn't buy enough.
But it just is so good. $0. It is so unusual. and you add on that it's from Paso, which I know this is from a better soil. I know all of that. But just adding all of those things in, it is a very unreal wine. It is a treat to drink it. Really, really, really nice. And again, I mean, it's hard to score when you get up this high because we just don't have that much experience in this category.
88 of your points, right?
Shut up. Unreal is a great word.
I know that it's going in the Hall of Fame. Absolutely deserves a place of honor.
Do you?
You're not even doing Perestroika.
Oh, well, we'll see what you score. Then I'll whistle. Go ahead.
Okay. So I'm going to give this 94 of my points.
That's
delightful.
It's a freaking, it's just nothing easy.
I said I don't know where to score this. I'm giving it 94.
Becky, can I ask you a question?
Huh?
What wine have you scored higher than that? Anything? Have you scored anything higher than 94?
The Numancia. She gave that a 96.
3 years ago.
Okay. So here's what I suggest you do to Rob. Flipping the bird, dude. Just freaking nail him. Just flipping the bird. Just,
it's hard for me to look up here because I haven't drank most of those wines.
Just flipping the bird. That's just, fair enough. Becky, just flipping the bird. Just do it. Well, go I ahead, know Scott. It's against your Southern
Scott, well, what's your score?
Upbringing.
There's not much that I've been able to rank above a 91.
It's true.
So I would say 94, 95, either one.
It's because you hate wine, apparently.
You're right.
I've been between a 95 and a 96, and I'm going 96 on this.
Jesus Christ.
I love this. And the reason I'm going 96
is because you're a crack addict. No, because you are
Russian judging?
I'm Russian judging it high? I think this is untapped potential yet. We haven't even touch the surface of what this wine will be in 5 years. I'm going 96. I have no problem with that. It's freaking spectacular. This is what an elevated wine is. Mm-hmm. I do 20 things going on. I think we failed to enumerate how many things are going on here. It's got unusual structure in that it has that oaking that presents itself more at the beginning of the finish rather than at the end. But it's does it ever end? Does the wine ever end? I wish Rob's dancing would end. But the length is incredible. The fruit. There's so many things going on with the fruit. Prune, cassis, cherry, berry. Freaking fantastic. Nice minerality. A couple different peppery spiciness. Little minerality. Chocolate, of course. This is the wine of the year to this point.
Apparently you've not had McManus. Now I'm going to provide this wine the correct score.
Okay.
As I always have to. I have to reel the show back in. Jesus Christ. So, to do that, I have to summon that has panache and a lot of
excellent. You're doing a voice, I'm going upstairs.
Thank you very much. This is James Suckley, and I'm going to provide Rob's score, and I'm going to provide this wine 99 of Rob's points, but that means it's an aggregate score of the correct score of 94. As the Triple B said, this is a 94. Let me say why. One reason is because the only score that was in my mind was 94. When you get up into the echelon of scoring, you're just kind of like, you lose.
We don't have that much experience with these good of wines. Well, it's the bottom line,
Scott,
dude.
Even
it's the bottom line.
But forgetting all that, Scott, when you get up into that echelon, it is so subjective. You're getting beyond the objective scoring. in my opinion. You're getting into the subjective level. And this wine has so many wonderful things. And quite frankly, at a 94, it's a wonderful thing. The enthusiast and spark and or the spectator and the Parker said 95s, 96, 94s.
What's the difference?
The one thing I will say is,
I'm just trying to kiss Becky's ass and give the same score that she did.
You're
trying to mansplain it. You're trying to man defend yourself.
I had it written down before she said anything.
He put his cup over it, so I couldn't see it.
He's like that.
It is a
but he's also not really good with the math, so he doesn't know what a difference is between a 4 and 6.
I'm
not upset.
It's a wonderful wine.
I will stand by my 96.
It's exquisite.
It was lovely to drink tonight.
Holy shit.
It's just a smallest notch. Yeah, that's right.
Is he below something for me?
The greatest.
I support you in every way, and I didn't get any of that.
The greatest wines. But that doesn't mean it's not wonderful.
What greatest wines?
Oh, the great Chateauneufs, the great Bordeaux that we've had. Those wines.
The great Bordeaux that we've had.
Smith Old Lafitte.
Better than this?
Lagrange. Oh, you didn't know. Yeah, Smith Old Lafitte is better than this.
I wouldn't know because I haven't drank any.
No, you haven't. But for Zinfandel.
I like big butts.
This is the highest rated and the best Zinfandel we've had on the show.
By far.
This is the Penta Ultimate of this varietal that we've had on the show. And quite frankly, I'm sure there are some stylistically low ones that might, you know, we haven't had Dragon, we haven't had Rattlesnake on the show. But so far, this is the best Zinfandel. And I think a good range, in my opinion, is 93 to 95.
Yeah, baby.
Scott.
So for me,
it's not a 96.
Why I went a little higher is because this is early. This has 4, 5, 6 more years in it.
Yeah, but that's 94, 95.
Whatever, dude.
But Scott, this is the thing. I don't know that it's going to be. Also,
you don't know that it's going to be what
the Chateauneuf we had was 20 years old.
Okay,
22 years old,
dude. It's Chateauneuf.
There you go.
Easy.
Easy tiger. Zinfandel does have a ceiling.
Easy tiger. Oh, now you're going to put ceilings on things.
It does. It has a ceiling.
Okay.
I love Zinfandel.
Okay. Zinfandel can have 100.
I don't know what that would taste like because this is magnificent.
This is fucking magnificent.
I mean, what would 100 be in Zinfandel?
I don't know.
I mean, I honestly think Zinfandel, I don't know that it could I don't think there's never been a 100-point Zinfandel, first of all, ever.
That'd be an interesting thing to find out. I doubt there has been.
I don't think there's been much above 95. I don't think so. So I honestly think the wine mags.
So maybe in general, everybody's a baby just like you.
No, Scott, but I don't think.
Afraid to not give it a 96.
This is the thing, Scott. I don't think that once you get into these high scores, that is, this is 100 for a Zinfandel. You throw the varietal out. You pass that varietal thing back in the 80s.
Well,
because you've already established it as a varietal.
Well,
now you're going outside the varietal into the best of show category.
I agree. As long as you're keeping some level of credibility to your scores.
And but you've already given the credibility to the varietal. Now, though, Scott, once you get into that...
Wait, hold on a second.
You're going up against Chateauneuf. You're going up against the great Pinots. Correct. You're going up against the great
But
Bordeaux.
Then you've got the James Sucklings of the world.
Well,
96 Scott, to every goddamn wine that's out there.
Who knows what they base that on? I'm not talking about them. I'm talking about us.
I know.
I'm thinking, but you have to leave all that stuff behind.
But
Scott, say this. Say this.
Yes.
Say you have... Say a perfect wine. I don't know that it's a perfect wine because I've not drank it. Is Petrus gets 100. They don't get 100s, mind you. And that's $4,000, okay? You have a $50 Zinfandel that, first of all, Zinfandel is not Bordeaux.
It's
from Pomerol. It theoretically is genetically starting off, so it's not going to ever get to that. But this is the point, Scott. Isn't 95 or 96 or 94 for a Zinfandel kind of 100?
I don't, maybe. And I get what you're saying here. I get the conversation.
Zinfandel, but what would 100 point,
however,
what would 100 point over, that's what I'm saying. Once you get above a certain point, in reality, you're talking about, you're throwing that in with everything. And you're comparing it against everything. You're taking it outside. You're not saying, well, is this better than Segeshio? Fuck that.
Well, fuck Segeshio.
That's way long time ago. Now you're up. Is this as good as Domaine du Pagal? Is this, I mean, it's in the conversation.
It's in the conversation.
Which is already an honor.
Which is an honor. And
for a Zinfandel.
But folks.
And what I'm saying is, Scott, you have to accept that Zinfandel isn't quite as grand as a Bordeaux grape, as even Pinot. It isn't.
I think we need to open our minds to the fact that an individual varietal.
Nobody else has.
That's okay.
Are you that forward thinking?
Yes, I am.
I agree with them, not you.
Good. That's fine. But I'm going to say this. If there's an individual varietal from an individual vintage that is so fucking spectacular, we need to open our minds to the fact of what that wine is, regardless whether it's a fucking Cinsault, a Zinfandel, or a Chateauneuf de Pape.
But that's the thing, Scott. That doesn't mean there isn't a Cinsault point scale. That doesn't exist. That's something James Suckling would do. He's saying, well, this is in relation. Whoa. That's like saying, well, I have a point scale for $6 wines.
Well, he's the one giving 96s to everything.
But he is taking some sort of thing like that.
He's just trying to sell wine.
Well, he's not selling wine. But at the same
he's selling wine.
I'm not buying things on what he's reviewing. But no, what
people are, though.
Scott, what he is doing, though, in Decanter or whatever, they are
Venice.
They are, in some fashion, grading on some type of curve. That's what they're doing. They're saying relation to price. They're saying relation to varietal. Something like that. They don't reveal what that is. But in some fashion, they have some sort of curve to their scoring system. Curve.
It's a good cologne varietal. I use curve. I like curve.
Anyway.
It's what I use.
But inevitably, Scott, they are doing that. Okay? But when you're saying, but you have to consider the varietal.
No. You're saying you have to consider the varietal.
No, I'm saying that you throw that out the door. I'm saying the opposite. Don't you understand what I'm saying? I'm saying you get up in that higher echelon, varietal is not an issue. You're comparing this to $5,000 wines.
Wait, I don't understand. You just told me that a Zinfandel can never be 100.
I'm saying that's the question. Maybe it can't be. What is 100 points?
Right.
But what is a Zinfandel at 100 points? Not what a 100-point Zinfandel is. Maybe a 100-point Zinfandel is a 95 overall, is what I'm saying. Perhaps. Because what would be something that's 5 points higher than this wine? That's a lot of points.
I think that's something that goes...
How could something be that much better than this wine for Zinfandel?
I know.
I mean, there could be a better Zinfandel. But how much better can it get? So it that's the question.
It could be. This fucking was amazing, dude. That's why I gave it 96.
But Scott.
And you gave it 94, pussy.
It's a 94.
Pussy.
It's a 94.
Fucking pussy.
I agree with Becky. It's a 94. It's great. That's what I'm saying, though. In reality, that might be an amazing Zinfandel because Zinfandel has a ceiling.
I don't agree with that.
But
I think,
Scott, but I'm not saying it's an absolute fact. I'm saying maybe that's the case.
You're talking out both sides of your face.
But no,
son.
But I'm saying I haven't had every Zinfandel from every producer.
But you're
saying they might have a different style for one of these other ones that I've not had. But I'm saying that this wine is in the mid 90s, which is amazingly high.
It is amazingly high.
But
it's amazing
to go
wine.
5 more points down the road, I've not experienced that Zinfandel.
Right.
Perhaps it doesn't exist. That means that the best Zinfandel in the world is in the mid 90s, which means that's 100-point Zinfandel for Zinfandel.
But until you open your mind up to the possibility of 100-point point Zinfandel.
But I haven't had that. I'm saying if this is the penultimate, then that means this is the 100 points of Zinfandel. Don't you understand what that means?
Yes. So maybe you should give it 100.
I don't grade it on a curve. That's
I'm not curving it.
96 is too many points.
96 is freaking spot on, folks. I will stand by that score till the end of my life.
Doesn't deserve that. It's
freaking fantastic.
But it does get in the value prize Hall of Fame. it's a great one. Hall of Fame. Won't even get this label taken off. It gets to be up on the thing.
Yeah. So we
next to Mason.
Yeah. No, next to Shelton of the Pope.
Yes. No, next to.
We're gonna have to Franciscan. We've talked about this. We're gonna have to build shelves.
I've actually got.
It's time to build shelves.
Well, I don't need to. I've got the. We're putting up a backsplash, so we took off the granite backing, and so I kept all that granite backing. It's like this thick and that wide. Just put brackets on that, and use that as the shelf all the way around.
I think the shelf should go behind you, where we put the bottles. Actually,
yes, but this is just thick enough. You have to have a very strong bracket because it's heavy granite. But I think it'd be kind of cool. I saved it all.
Dude, that's easy peasy. That's fucking nothing done.
Yeah. So, folks.
It'll be fun.
294 is a 96, a Hall of Fame designation for Turley's Uber Ruth.
Plainly, the front runner for the...
No, it's not.
Wine. What?
It's not.
What the fuck's your problem, son?
It's not.
It's not the wine of the year?
No. First of all, it's only August. And second of all...
What's the wine of the year?
Right now, Alpatagua Pinot Noir.
Oh, Jesus fucking Christ, you're fucking wrong.
And you know what?
Oh, my God.
I'm going to get another vote from Becky for that. Whatever hurts you makes me stronger.
That's great.
I know.
Alpatagua, 94?
Yeah, you're going to get a $12 Pinot beat out your precious Uber.
Whatever, son.
It doesn't even matter if I believe that.
Integrity. Not important to you.
More amusing.
You and Dum Dum.
So, for Rob the Wine Guy, the Triple B.
Perestroika, Rob loves Putin just like Donald Trump, the asshole.
It's Putin, not Putin. But nevertheless. And for that other guy.
Pukin.
We're going to bid you adieu. And see you next time. We'll have a better Zinfandel from Zen of Zins. Here. On the Wine Vault.